2 of the F590 show coming at you right now on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com. Matt Berger and Matt Rocchio alongside John G. Monty Rudolph, the man with the plan, the DJ behind the ones and the twos. Joining us, though, right now on the Bellman Automotive phone line is the great Howard Balzer. You can follow him on Twitter at HBalzer721, read him at BalzerFootball.com, and hear him on the Hall of Fame show on the NFL channel on SiriusXM. H, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well, gentlemen. I'm doing well. How are you guys all doing?
Doing fantastic. How was your Memorial Day? Are you kind of like the big barbecue guy? Does everybody go to your house, or do you crash someone else's house?
I was just, you know, home alone, basically, with a lovely wife, just relaxing for the weekend, and just did our own thing, and just, you know, actually caught up on some TV shows that we had building up in our DVR. And so it was a very, very quiet weekend. And also, you know, I do want to mention this, because I tweeted this out yesterday. And I don't know if there, I think sometimes during the holiday, the quote holiday weekend, we forget why this is why we have a day off, or some have a day off, and why it's a day that's celebrated. And one of the most amazing shows that's on TV every year is the Memorial Day concert from Washington. And unbelievable emotion that goes with it. And one of the things they do, they tell about three stories of those that were in the service. And they have actors up there speaking as if they were those people. And, you know, one was about a girl who was 6 years old when her father was missing in Vietnam and didn't find out for 36 years what had happened to him.
Oh, wow.
And just amazing. It just, I'll tell you, I have to admit, you know, my father was in, you know, in World War II, and thankfully came home alive. Obviously he did. Otherwise I might not be here. But it's, you know, it's an emotional, it's a very emotional show.
Did you watch this like on PBS, or where was it airing?
Yeah, it's on Channel 9.
Okay.
And it's on Channel 9 every year, and they, you know, and they might rerun it. I don't know if they do, you know, at different times during the week. But I watch it every year. Joe Montagna is one of the hosts. And, of course, they also have all the bands from the different services, the, you know, Navy and Army and all those, who play their theme songs later in the show. And they have great performers who come out and sing, you know, sing very, you know, fitting songs. And the other thing they do is those stories that they tell, they have the people in the audience, the real people.
Oh, wow. This is the first time hearing something like this. This is something I think that I would probably watch. I'll try to catch it next year. Maybe it's on demand or something.
It might be on demand. Maybe they rerun it on Channel 9. One of the stories, for example, they told of a man in Iraq, or maybe it was Afghanistan. It was on his sixth tour of duty, and he had survived his previous ones, and then was in, I don't know if it was a tank or whatever it was with his, you know, the rest of his company, and hit one of those IEDs, and he was in a coma for 2 months, and lost. There were six guys, I think, in it, and three of them lost their lives. And at one point, they were ready to say, hey, this is not going to work. He's not going to come back. And his wife refused to let them, you know, basically just turn off any life support. And he came back. And it's been like 3 or 4 years. And he's still, of course, you know, he has a lot of issues. But he's in a wheelchair. And so they had two actors, a man and a woman, play the part of him and his wife and what they have been through as he has been rehabilitating. And then this was the amazing thing. One of the things that they've done with him is music therapy. And later in the show, they had a couple of other singers come up on the stage and brought, and so after, well, let me first say, after they did their, the actors did their thing, they went down into the audience, and right there in the front row was this man in his uniform with his wife next to him. And then later in the show, they had him up on the stage with two other actors, and he opened the singing of God Bless America.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
And yeah, it truly was. And obviously he was laboring to sing it, but it was, I mean, what can you, there's really no words to describe it. So, that was one of the things that, that we did. And, I don't know how many years they've been doing it, but they do it a lot of, they've been doing it for a bunch of years. And like I said, the stories they tell and all that, and the emotion that's there, it's an hour and a half, is really, really indescribable.
I know HBO, they re-aired their great series, Band of Brothers, which is about World War II. Now, it looked like the Seattle Seahawks, like they were a band of brothers, but I don't know if you had a chance to read this deep dive that Seth Wickersham did on ESPN about how there seems to be a divide in the locker room, and Russell Wilson seems to be in the middle of it. And basically, it was about how Richard Sherman can't seem to let that Super Bowl loss go against the New England Patriots when you know, they should have ran Marshawn Lynch. Instead, they threw the interception to Malcolm Butler, and the rest is history. And it sounds like Richard Sherman can't let it go, and it's causing a divide in the locker room. Maybe this is the reason why Seattle's looking to move him.
I think it definitely was, but of course they weren't going to move him unless they got value for him, and they obviously weren't able to do that. And let's remember, he had, you know, a bunch of issues during the season last year where he got into it with the offensive coordinator in another situation when they threw the ball and they didn't think he should have. He got into it with a reporter, and so, yeah, there's no doubt that they were looking to move him. And this story, which was widely sourced by Seth, who does an amazing job with those stories for ESPN, the magazine. And, of course, now different players, of course, are denying it and saying, no, it's not an issue. And
well, the
and
one player who's coming out and saying, I don't know if Russell Wilson is held accountable enough,
yes,
and that's Doug Baldwin.
Yeah, exactly. So there are issues there. And here's, I mean, it's to me, it's somewhat, well, Richard Sherman is Richard Sherman. He is going to be the way he is. But if I was an offensive player or any other player really on that team, even a defensive player, when he would keep railing about not throwing, you know, not running the ball and all that, what I would do is I would go up to him and I'd say, hey, Richard, do you remember what the score was with about 8 minutes to go in the fourth quarter? Well, the Seahawks were winning by 10 points. And that defense that's supposed to be the vaunted defense, which includes, of course, I believe Richard Sherman is on that defense. They gave up two touchdowns in the fourth quarter that allowed the Seahawks, or that allowed the Patriots, to come back and take the lead before, of course, you know, what happened late. And so if I was anybody else on that team, including a coach or offensive players or whoever, I'd say, hey, Richard, the defense was just a matter of, if the defense had just stopped them one time, they would have won anyway. And that stuff at the end of the game wouldn't have even mattered. So it's just hard for me to believe that a guy would be that self-centered and continue to make this an issue this long after that game was played.
And we all saw how the Legion of Boom played when Earl Thomas went out. So Thomas is a more important player, and that's secondary than what Richard Sherman is. And I like Richard Sherman, but I think he has a tendency to wear out his welcome. I think he has a time to run his mouth too much, too, and I think he gets annoying. What do you make of the story out of Oakland that my new team, the Las Vegas Raiders of Oakland, they have sold out their season tickets for the first time in years? What do you make of that? Do they think that the team is not going to be here, not going to be playing in Oakland next year? Is it the hype that this is a really good team, a sexy pick to represent the AFC in the Super Bowl, or is it Marshawn Lynch, or is it a combination of those three?
It's probably a combination of all those things, along with the fact that these are the Raiders. These are Raiders fans. And it's interesting because I'm fairly certain I said it on this show, on your show, and I know I've said it other times, that before the move was approved, before it even came out officially that they were going to stay in Oakland if this move was approved, which I had gotten on good record that I had reported, and I'm sure Matt, you remember that.
Absolutely.
That I reported, you know, that they are going to be playing in Oakland even if they move, and I made the point at the time on several occasions that if there's one fan base in all of sports that would still support their team in their city, knowing that they're going to leave in a couple of years, it would be the Raiders. I don't think you could do that in any city where you announce, hey, we're moving, but it's not going to be for two, it's not going to be for three seasons, whatever, however long it's going to be, but hey, come on out and support us. I don't care how good that team was. I think most fans would be saying, now the heck with you. Well, I somewhat soften my opinion, waiting to see what would happen after the move became official, because there was obviously a lot of pushback. There were a lot of fans, you know, claiming that, oh, I can't believe this. We're not going to support them. We're not going to do this. Well, you know, I don't know if those were all fans who don't go to the games, but the bottom line is, like you said, they still sold out the season tickets. So I don't think it was – I think the biggest thing is that they won last year, and that was even without Marshawn Lynch. So they are a good team, and a lot of people are going to be picking them to be a Super Bowl challenger. And I'm sure Marshawn Lynch helps it a little bit. I don't know how many tickets that would actually sell. But obviously a big thing of it is just the point I made, is this is Raiders Nation.
Yeah.
These are fans that I know I've mentioned this on the air on a few occasions, that as much as 8 to 10 months ago, were already looking to rent or even buy condos and real estate and places to go to Las Vegas for weekends when the team is there. So I think that's a big thing with that fan base, is that they are going to support that team wherever they play.
We have breaking news from your colleague at SiriusXM on the NFL channel, Pat Kirwan. He's saying that the Seattle Seahawks appear to be unlikely to sign Colin Kaepernick. And I thought that was the most likely spot for him. I thought that was a good spot as far as the culture of the city goes and Colin Kaepernick and his political stances. If the Seattle Seahawks don't sign Colin Kaepernick, I'm not sure where he's going to go.
No, I'm with you 100% on that. The only thing that's unknown, obviously, is where might there be an injury or something like that that certainly could affect that. I felt, yes, like you said all along, pretty much that would be a fit for him in terms of his style of play. It doesn't surprise me that, and there had been a lot of wondering if this was really serious. The Seahawks, you know, giving him a look, and actually he never had a tryout. When he went there, it was just on a visit. And so if you're really serious about signing a guy, aren't you going to give him a tryout? Although it is fair to say that the Seahawks know what he can do. They've seen him play, and of course he's been in the division, and he didn't play badly at the end of last season. But there had been a lot of thought that the Seahawks just did this to quiet some of the discussion about no team even giving him a time of day or even a look. It's not surprising that they're not signing him. I do put a lot of credence to when Pat Kirwan says it. One of the biggest reasons is because one of the people he's closest to in the NFL is Pete Carroll. So I'm sure if he's reporting that, chances are he got it directly from the head coach.
Howard, if I hurt my back playing wiffle ball over the weekend during the Memorial Day weekend, where can I go? Who can get me right?
There's absolutely no question about that. And I know I mentioned last week, and I can say now that 9 days after I tweaked that calf muscle, the treatments that I've gotten at Metro Chiropractic and Nutritional Wellness have been a big part of how I've been. I'm basically totally pain free now, and they've helped tremendously with different things like laser therapy and stimulation of the muscles and all those things. And so they've been a big help. They can help everybody. And let me tell you, I was in there earlier today for a treatment, and the place was rocking because of the holiday, that they were squeezing a lot of people that normally come in on Monday and on Tuesday, along with the people who normally come in on Tuesday. It was crowded. So that means a lot of people know that they're getting great care and great help from Metro Chiropractic and Nutritional Wellness. So give them a call, 567-7300. That's 314 area code. Centrally, easily located on Schutz Road, right off Page, near Lindbergh. And so check them out. And they still have, like I've been saying, the 590 special. You can get a full evaluation of what you have going on. They'll take x-rays of your spine. They'll see if maybe things are a little bit out of line and do some things for you that can help it. And the 590 special is that $97 evaluation is only $59. And they do take insurance, so check it out. Like I said, Metro Chiropractic and Nutritional Wellness. They also have a lot of nutritional supplements. When I say nutrition, I should say supplements that are good for you, that aren't opioids and aren't the pain medications that looks like it got Tiger Woods in a bit of trouble.
You're right about that.
They have a lot of that as well. So check it out, Metro Chiropractic and Nutritional Wellness, 314-567-7300.
You are one of the very best, my friend. Enjoy the rest of the week, and we will talk to you next Tuesday.
Sounds good, guys. Take care.
That is Howard Balzer from BalzerFootball.com and the Hall of Fame show on the NFL channel on SiriusXM. You can follow him on Twitter at HBalzer721. It is now time to head back to that 590 Show Sports Update Desk and our very own Matt Rocchio.
In action right now on the diamond, the Diamondbacks have jumped out to a 1-0 lead over the Pirates in the bottom of the sixth. The Yankees completely destroying the Orioles so far. Top of the fourth, they're up 6-0 and just now getting underway, the Boston Red Sox and the Chicago White Sox in Chicago. Earlier today, Berger, we're going to jump across the pond and talk about the French Open first round.
Let's do it.
On the clay courts, we had three ranked Americans in action today. On the women's side, Madison Keys, 12th ranked woman. She won her first match 2-0. On the men's side, both a good and bad day for the Americans. Sam Querrey, 27th ranked, lost, upset there in the first round, 1-3. But John Isner, the big hope for the Americans, 21st ranked, for the men in the French Open. He won his first match 3-1. I'm Matt Rocchio with your 590 Sports Report.
Thank you very much, Matt Rocchio. We'll take a commercial break, and then when we come back, we're going to talk about Tiger Woods, and I'm going to defend somebody that I have normally been extraordinarily critical of. You're listening to That 590 Show right here on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.